in my kitchen. There's hard to be raining out the door.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil, and you fry some garlic. And you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. And you gotta do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. And a little bit of wine. And a little bit of sugar. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Mouthful, a live edition. It is Michelle Anna Jordan here in the studio. It's so good to be back. I have missed a number of shows because I have had just some nasty virus. It's really great to be back in the driving seat here on Mouthful. And thanks to all of you who tuned in during a couple of archive shows, as well as the wonderful Mary Moore Campagna, who filled in for me one night when Adam Parks of Victorian Farmstead was here. So anyway, good to be back. Thanks for tuning in. A little bit later in the show, I'm going to tell you about something that's coming up on May 12th. If you got a hankering for Hawaii and you don't have the time to go, you don't have the money to go, you just want a little quick trip to the islands, I have just the thing for you. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later. For now, we have, and I'm going to make you say your last name, Leslie.
Braben.
I would have said it right. I always think I mispronounce it. We have Leslie Braben of Salmon Creek Ranch, a wonderful ranch out in the town of Bodega, a little bit north of the actual town, but definitely inland from Bodega Bay. Fabulous duck, duck eggs, goat meat, some of the best beef I've ever tasted in my life. We've talked about this before. You've been a guest. So welcome.
Thank you.
And you're also here in another capacity. I know you're on the board for the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, and you're the media spokesperson?
And the secretary.
And the secretary. So
right.
Was that right, media spokesperson?
That's exactly right, yes.
Well, some big news was announced.
Yes, we're very excited about that. We've been searching for a new home for the past several months. And after numerous forays out into Santa Rosa to find the exact right spot, we found it. And that's with the Wells Fargo Center for the Arts on Mark Springs West Road, and we'll be moving there on May 12th.
Oh, on May 12th?
May 19th.
Oh, May 19th.
Sorry.
Okay, good. Whereabouts? Because my only concern is when I drive down the when I'm driving up the freeway right now, all I see is the construction, which I think has something to do with Kaiser.
That is the new Sutter Hospital.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Sutter.
And so the actual parking lot where we will be at, Wells Fargo Center for the Arts is slightly south of that construction.
Okay.
And if you turn in there, it's fairly obvious where you go. You kind of weave around and go a little south. And we'll be in the south parking lot.
Mm-hmm. And there's another entrance over on maybe Old Redwood High. I know that there's a back entrance to when it used to be called Luther Burbank or LBC.
Yes.
If you're going to a concert or some other event, you would go the back way and zip in without any problem with the parking. So, and
right.
That would take you right to the south lot. So it's going to be in the south lot.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. And it's been since its founding, except for a short break, in the east parking lot of the Veterans Building. And for starters, and plus it's not always been where it is right now in the Veterans parking lot. I know that when Linda Cornelius was manager, there was talk about moving, and instead of moving entirely, that first row of parking places mm-hmm. that abuts the gardens and the entrance, mm-hmm. the market was there. Mm-hmm. And they moved to where the market is now, which is, I guess, in the second and third row of the parking lot.
Right.
So that's one move. How does the size of the space at Wells Fargo, how does it
It's compare? Very comparable because okay. one of the criteria was to find a place with adequate parking for our mm-hmm. customers and for our vendors. So we had some of our board members and we formed a site committee in January mm-hmm. to explore all of this. And they walked out our space requirements and knew exactly how many feet by how many feet oh. we needed. Uh-huh. And so every site that we have investigated, they walked the site to see if it would be a good fit. And several sites were rejected because they just didn't have the parking.
Mm, yeah, and parking's so important. You have to have easy access, easy in and out.
Yeah, and also some of the sites we looked at had metered parking, and we did not no. want that for our customers.
No, no, no.
So I don't even do metered parking, so we didn't.
Especially not for a farmer's market.
Absolutely, yeah. So the Wells Fargo Center for the Arts is just a perfect fit for us. They are dedicated to community service and education, and they are very welcoming to us. They value us as we value them.
That's great.
So we're very excited about moving.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think every market manager or every market I've attended or every change each time the market changes, management, everyone has always said that they wanted a new location.
Yes.
So, and it has seemed to me in a lot of ways that the market has succeeded in spite of its location and not because of its location.
Right. Although I have to say that change is scary.
Change is scary, of course.
Yes, and I don't think that given a choice, most people want it to move.
Okay.
It's not something that was our choice.
Okay.
It was forced upon us, mm-hmm. and we had to make the best of a bad situation. Mm-hmm. But I think in the long run, you're absolutely right. I think the new site will be absolutely superb and has a lot of advantages that the present one does not.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're right. All change, even when it's changed from something awful to something good, all change is scary.
Yes.
And everyone resists, you know, we all resist change. And then once that change is established, we all organize around that change.
That's right.
You know, you can trace it back to systems theory if you want to get all science geeky about it, which I will try not to do. I know that there's been partial coverage of this issue in the press in various formats. I'm wondering if you want to go into the story of why the move is necessary.
Well, one of the points that seems to keep getting missed in the reporting is that it was not about a rent dispute. The Press Democrat came out with an article a few days ago, and again, they missed the fundamental issue here. The rent was going up by 167%. We found out about that in November. And at the time, which, I mean, that's like a huge increase, and by far way out of proportion to what other farmers markets in the county.
That was going to be my next question.
Yes, way out of line from what the other ones are being charged. And you covered a lot of that in one of your recent programs.
Yeah, I think it was 6 or 8 weeks ago.
Right.
We had several market managers on, and I was actually quite surprised at, number one, how low the rent is, and in some cases that no rent, because
exactly.
it's a community service.
Yes.
So the comparison really shocked me.
It shocked me as well. I hadn't realized what the other markets were paying, and I wish the same could be said for us. But the county regional parks department decided that they would up the rent to $58,000 a year for the parking lot for our market on Saturdays and Wednesdays. And so our market manager, Paula Downing, bless her heart, went back to the county and said, you know, hey, this is a lot of money for us, for the poor farmers to have to come up with. And this organization does a lot of really good community service. We, Paula has worked very hard to have the CalFresh program incorporated in the market. So,
and we should say that's the food.
That's the food
stamps.
You
can use your food stamps. And I think that was the first market in Sonoma County.
Yes.
To accept CalFresh.
And not just accept them, but make the people that do have food stamps to feel welcome at the market. Mm-hmm. There's one level of acceptance, and then it's quite another thing above and beyond to embrace.
To encourage.
Yes.
That's a really good point.
And that is what has occurred at the market. Mm-hmm. Also, Paula has worked very hard to work with the Vista Medical Clinic for, there's a project going on to help women, low-income women with at risk for gestational diabetes, have access to healthy food. And not only that, but to bring chefs on to the farmers market to help these women learn how to prepare this healthy food, mm-hmm. and how to use it and best teach their own families how to use this. Because as we know, these things are generational, and
right.
and what we can teach these women, then in turn they teach their children. So this is a really valuable service. So based on this and additional things that we do there, Paula felt it was justified to go and ask for a fee reduction. So at that point, the County Regional Parks Department, Carol Hart's office, and Supervisor Zane said, okay, we'll entertain that. We'll look at and see if you qualify for a fee reduction, but you need to submit your financial reports for 2010 and 2011. So those were submitted by the Santa Rosa Market in January of 2012, and we had to wait till January because they requested 2011. Mm-hmm. So we did that, and then we were waiting. We never heard anything, whether our request for a reduction was accepted, rejected, they needed more information, nothing.
So you never heard anything?
Nothing.
Because one of the things that I've read, and I don't know where it was, was that the market never submitted the requested documentation.
That was in the article that was in the Press Democrat,
oh, okay.
and that was categorically untrue.
Okay.
It was not true. And in fact, you know, if the county was not satisfied with our reports, they should have notified us, which they never did. And we were, in fact, in the minutes of our board meetings, we're going, well, has anyone heard from the county? No. Well, should we ask them? We didn't want to harass them. So we were just patiently waiting. And then we suddenly got a letter on February 9th that County Regional Parks was negotiating with an outside party. And we're going, what? You know, what about this? So we immediately contacted the County Regional Parks Department and Supervisor Zane's office by phone and by email and by letter saying, this is a misunderstanding. We need to come in and talk to you. But they never responded.
And on that note, we're going to leave you in suspense for the next chapter with just a little musical interlude here on Mouthful. Oh, spring, the mockingbirds are just entertaining me so wonderfully all day long in Sebastopol. It's my favorite time of year, and I just love my mockingbirds. We are talking with Leslie Braben of Salmon Creek Ranch and secretary and media spokesperson for the Santa Rosa Farmers Market. Also joining us now is Guido Frazzini of Valley Ford Young Farmers. Welcome.
Hi, Michelle.
Hi, and we'll be talking into what your organization and what you do. I think you're True Grass Farms, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we'll be talking about all that in a few minutes, but we're going to continue with this drama about the Santa Rosa market. So we're at the point where you didn't hear back.
We didn't hear back. So in the meantime, we also had formed the Santa Rosa Original Farmers Market had formed a site committee to look into other locations, and we wanted to know what our options were while we were waiting to hear back from the county. So as I mentioned before, in February 9th, we received this letter saying they were negotiating with another party, and when we tried to contact them by phone, email, and letter, they totally did not respond.
No response.
And, in fact, we sent a letter to them on February the 17th stating that this was in writing, emailed to Carol Hart at her official email address and sent to her official postal address saying that that was a misunderstanding. We never said we were not interested in continuing at the Veterans Hall. And we got no response. She claimed she never saw the letter. She claimed she never got the telephone messages that we had sent the previous week. And the next thing we know, they had signed with Rob Carey, who is not an entity at all or a nonprofit, February the 23rd, and we were out. We were totally blindsided. Historically, the rent renewal had always been done in May or June for the past 40 years. Had we known that we needed to make a decision, we would have done so. And we were never notified that they had rejected our request for a fee reduction. We were never notified there was a deadline by which we needed to respond, which seems to me a violation of basic contract law.
Yeah.
If I were a landlord, I would certainly provide in writing to my tenants due notice.
Yeah.
So they can make a decision. We never received that. So there is, as a result, there's a lot of very hard feelings. And the board members, vendors, and some of the customers have met with several of the supervisors, with Carol Hart and the County Regional Parks Department office. We've met with County Council, and with absolutely no satisfaction whatsoever. We still do not understand why they neglected to give us due notice.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know of a way to understand it. I mean, I'm an outsider, but I can't think my way through it.
When asked directly of the county council, they replied they were not required to.
Really?
And we said, well, you know, wouldn't that be the moral, ethical thing to do? And they said, well, they weren't required to. So, as a result, the Santa Rosa Original Farmers Market, after 40 years of building a fabulous customer base, of having a real family out there in the parking lot, rain or shine, had to find a new home.
Wow.
And preliminary surveys indicate that at least 75 to 80% of the present vendors are moving with us to Wells Fargo Center for the Arts.
And you're moving May 19th will be the first day?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now there was I had a question and it flew out of my brain like a little bird. I'm sure it will come back to me. I know. Do we know at what rate this new person who has the market, what rent are they paying? Are they paying the highest? What are they paying?
I don't know for certain. Okay. I know rumors, but I would not like to state.
Okay.
Apparently, their spokesperson did state that at a meeting of the Valley of the Moon Farmers Market, and it's in their minutes on the website, but I haven't seen that myself. So
Valley of the Moon Farmers Market?
Right.
That one started last year, I think.
Right.
Yeah.
And apparently he was a spokesperson there and did say how much they were paying.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, I don't always write about a farmers market as soon as they open. Just like when I was a restaurant critic, you know, hands off for quite a number of weeks. You know, what I liked to do when I was a restaurant critic was hands off for 3 months. But a lot of people, competitors, had policies that were different than that. But I refused to review a restaurant sooner than 6 weeks. And I think you need to allow something, the same for almost any new business.
Absolutely, to work the bugs out.
To get your sea legs.
Yeah.
To get the sea legs. So Valley of the Moon, and at the time I was looking into Valley of the Moon, they weren't a certified market.
Mm-hmm.
So I was waiting for them to get certification and to see how they went before I wrote about them. So I wasn't aware that Bob Carrot was connected with them.
I don't know if he's connected. I know that he spoke at one of their meetings.
Oh, spoke at one of their meetings.
Yeah.
I see. Okay.
Yeah.
So now onward to moving.
Yes.
Is it going to be a party on May 19th?
There's going to be a party, and we're planning some special events. We have a very enthusiastic committee that is looking into the kind of things that we can have to mm-hmm. do that. But it'll be really great.
Mm-hmm. Now, one thing, there are quite a number of trees there, right?
In
I'm just
places.
Wondering if the trees have matured yet. I remember when they were planted, and I think it was a while ago.
The south parking lot, where we'll be initially, is over towards the field.
Okay.
So it's pretty open over there.
Pretty open,
at the
okay.
moment, yeah.
Okay, and then but surrounded by grass.
Right.
Yeah, surrounded by
right.
grass, which will have a cooling effect.
Yes.
Well, and you say about 80% of your vendors will be...
That's what uh-huh. they have indicated at this point. Some were waiting to find out where we move to before
sure.
committing.
Oh, sure.
Fair enough. And, uh-huh. of course, each one has to make the best decision for their own business.
Yeah. Now, can some attend both markets?
We have decided, the board, that no.
Oh, okay.
And the reason being is that... we don't feel that Santa Rosa has the customer base at this time to support two farmers markets of a similar size that's taking place on the same day at the same time. Had one been in the afternoon or on a different day, yeah. that would have been an entirely different story. But we're talking, this is within a 7-mile radius.
Yeah, I was sort of surprised that the other market is going to operate at exactly the same time, that it would be so great to do like a Sunday or Thursday
well, right.
so that people have options. Because
right.
not everyone can go.
Or even an afternoon, because some people are morning people
That's
and some
true.
People
That's
are
That's a really
afternoon.
Good point.
But, and the biggest reason for doing that was that for people that are large farmers and can afford to have two setups and the staff to do two markets at the same time, that would be an advantage to be able to sell at both markets. They would mm-hmm. double their exposure. But the small farmer, which are the majority in our market,
right.
it's going to hurt because you're only going to be at the right place half the amount of time.
Yeah, that's a really good point.
And we want to protect the small farmer. That's what we're about. We're not mm-hmm. about big business. We're the last farmers market in the state to be run by the farmers.
Say that again?
We are one of... I think the last farmers markets to be run by the farmers and not by a corporation.
Really?
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, we're all volunteer farmers that are on the board of directors.
I didn't realize corporations were taking over
they
farmers
are.
Markets.
Look at Marin. You know, they have the Ag Institute that's running their farmers markets. So they have paid staff, and but we're one of the last, if not the last, to be run by farmers for farmers.
Wow, that's really interesting.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
So we're struggling to support the small farmer in right. our community.
Yeah. Well, good for you. We're going to take another musical break here on Mouthful. We'll be right back.
Any day now, I will hear you say goodbye, my love. beautiful bird, you were flown home. Any day now, I'll be all alone. Oh, 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 oh. Any day now, when your restless eyes meet someone new, and oh, to my sad surprise, then my wild, beautiful bird, you will have flown home. Any day now, I'll be all alone. Oh, 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 oh. Shouldn't want to keep you if you don't want to stay until you've gone forever. I'll be holding on for delight, holding you this way and begging you to stay. Any day now, when the clock strikes four, we call it out, and then my tears will flow, then my wild, beautiful bird, you will have flown. Oh, 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 any day now, I'll be all alone.
It's Michelle Anna Jordan. It is Mouthful. Thanks for sticking with us. The first half of the show has been about the Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, which will be moving to a new location on May 12th. And got a call from Mary Kelly, manager of the Hillsburg Farmers Market. That market, too, is operated by farmers. But we knew that. I think we were talking about markets in Sonoma County.
Right.
We're just talking about just your market. But markets in Sonoma County, certainly Sebastopol, Bodega Bay, Occidental.
Right.
Hillsburg is opening this Saturday. The season has begun.
Yes.
So anyway, I want to bring Guido into the conversation now. I just met Guido for the first time at another farmer's market, at the Sonoma Valley Farmer's Market on Friday, where I was shopping. And it was such a beautiful day that day. The air was just everything I love about spring air. It was so soft. It was warm, but it wasn't hot. It was pretty, you know, just that really pale, buttery color of sunlight is at this time of year. And then I come across this really interesting guy doing with a farm tour and lunch that was happening yesterday, and a group of, I think it's three farms out
it's
there.
Three farms right now.
We're
yes.
out in the Bodega area, and three young farmers. Awesome. You guys give me hope.
We started meeting 6 months ago, and we decided that we were the new generations of cattle, sheep, vegetable producers, poultry growers, and that we had a common interest. And the only way to really get out there was to start uniting our forces, uniting our contacts, start working with each other and not trying to compete with each other. We're the same age. We're dealing with the same difficulties with legislation or farmers themselves. And so we just started doing that. And it all happened at the dinner table, which we all share every Monday night. And since then, every week, we meet on Mondays, and we talk about the week and what needs to happen. And now it's come to the point where we've actually spoken, united with legislation, for the new amendments that are happening in Marin County. Most of us are in the Coastal Commission.
Educate us, please.
Yeah.
Okay.
And so having a voice there with legislation, mm-hmm. and then also like I said, being a type of consortium. We're only 2 miles from each other. We're mm-hmm. producing different things. Sometimes we overlap, but it's different breeds. And that's one thing that we also try to say at farmers markets, not everything's created equal. It's not just beef. It's not just goat. It's not just lamb. And it's really, really important. And it's not the same forage. So there are these particular, that's where they're to educate. That's another point. So we have legislation mm-hmm. voice. We have education. And I think farmers markets for us, besides being a retail outlet, is mostly for education. And we welcome people mm-hmm. to always come. Uh-huh. And that's what we're there for.
Uh-huh. And I say, when you say you're all within 2 miles of each other, let's put this a little more geographically specific. Valley Ford?
So for people that don't know, Valley Ford is 2 miles okay. east from Bodega Bay on Highway 1.
So you're all in
From Truegrass Farms, I'm located 2 miles south.
Okay.
On the Estero Americano.
Okay.
John Gorman from Swallow Valley is located a quarter mile north of Valley Ford on Freestone Ranch.
Mm-hmm.
And then Anna Erickson with Hans Hole Farm, she's located on Highway 1.
Okay. And so you're all really very close to Salmon Creek Ranch. What, maybe 3 miles? Sounds
yeah.
like?
Yeah. I just drove by the other day, actually.
Okay. Okay. So, you know, it seems to me that a lot of what is happening lately is out in that area. You and you. And it just seems like there's a, and there's something else that was going on out there. And that market's going to be opening, the Bodega Bay Market, I guess, be opening in June, I think.
That's right. I believe it's the last Sunday in May.
Oh, excellent. So it just seems that really good agricultural and community things are coming to us from the coast right now. I think it's really exciting.
It's a gorgeous area, and it's conducive to creativity and enthusiasm.
Uh-huh. Not to mention fog.
Love
which
it.
Which I love. So let's go through what each of you produce. Truegrass Farms.
Truegrass Farm, right now we are producing Wagyu cattle. It's all pasture raised, and we have a full blood herd of just 100% Wagyu, and also a commercial herd which we cross Angus and Herefords with uh-huh. our Wagyu bulls. Then we do poultry and from meat chicken. Then the rabbits. Goats, some lambs, and ducks. Muscovies. for me.
I guess he's putting in his opinion, isn't he? Tell me about what breed of chicken are you doing?
Right now, it's our first time. We're doing La Rouge, the Freedom Ranger. It's a Cornish cross with a red broiler. Uh-huh. So they do better on pasture, and they don't have the problem of
the splayed legs. Splayed leg. Excellent.
Or, yeah.
Excellent.
Or water in the chestal cavity. So far, they're really great on pasture.
Uh-huh. Excellent. I think that that's going to be one of, when you talk about education, my feeling and my hope, actually, but my feeling is that one of the next things that sort of breaks into mainstream, at least mainstream interest in food is going to be the trouble with the Cornish cross and the splayed legs. I think that's a really important thing to lift people's awareness of that.
What we're working on right now also, part of our goals, our mission, is to create sustainable breeds in the area. So, for example, right now we're working on chickens because, yes, the red broilers are great, but they're not the best on mm-hmm. pasture. They could do a lot better. And also, we've bred out their roosting capabilities. So that's why a lot of meat birds on pasture are done in pulled pens and directly on the ground, and you don't have, like, portable pens like you would do with, nesting boxes with uh-huh. your egg chickens.
Right.
So having that bred out of them, there's also this lack of instinct that the chicken has in itself.
Tell me again what's bred out of them?
The roosting habit that chickens have all night. They'll just sit down, once it gets dark.
That's bred out of them?
They don't seem to do it.
That's
and
sad.
These should, have a little more of an instinct because they do a little better on pasture.
Uh-huh.
So right now we are writing a grant to try to actually experiment with different breeds that we have that have been doing best on pasture, mm-hmm. like larger breeds in like Orpingtons or Delawares, and to see what can come out and to have our own breed so we don't have to buy from hatcheries.
Oh, so you're thinking of actually doing a breeding program as
just
well?
Just for the consortium, yeah.
That's
and then if
excellent.
We can grow and we like the breed, then start sharing it with local members.
Uh-huh. That's excellent.
That's great.
Do you mind if I ask you how old you are?
27.
27. It just makes me feel so good.
It's inspiring.
It is. Isn't it? Hope for the world. Did you go to college? What were you into in school? How did you become a farmer?
So I was born and raised in Florence, Italy. And my
right
mother's
on.
From Oakland. And my father was Italian. So I came here for college. And I was studying with the Jesuits in San Francisco for a year.
Uh-huh.
And there I was engaged with the United States foreign policies and start organizing protests. I was studying political theory and general theology. And then after multiple months of this, I found myself in Washington, D.C., and we were there, and we were dumpster diving, trying to collect food because we organized this big protest. We were toppling the statue of Bush. but then I was eating Top Ramen, and I didn't know. I'm shouting at people, and I'm really angry, and I had no idea where my food was coming from. And I was just scavenging, and so I decided, like, one of the best ways to boycott certain things I don't want is to produce food that I want to share. And then having a space, like the table, that I can actually share it with and to have that conversation. And what better place to have it at a table and with the medium of food? So when I did come back from D.C., I called my great aunt, Ione Conlin, that right now owns the land that I manage, if I could help out. And this was 6 years ago. So I started as a ranch hand and worked there. And it was my first experience with agriculture. And then I studied botany and horticulture at the JC. Mm-hmm. And then it was just hands-on experience for most of what we produce.
That is such a great story. That is wonderful. Thank you for doing it. You know, and you have so much energy that you're bringing to it. It really does make me feel we'll be okay. yesterday, you had a farm tour and artisanal lunch. Will you want to talk about that?
So we'll go back to the 6 years ago. I started as a ranch hand, and then I found myself at the ranch by myself for one winter. And I realized it was not sustainable. In fact, that's when I actually left the ranch because I was by myself and it's isolated and there was a lot of acreage to take care of. So I moved back to Oakland, started studying and lived there for a while.
Okay, I see.
I was inspired again and came to live on the ranch and tried to build community. So one of the people that is living with me right now is Matthew Elias. He went to culinary school in Arizona and I met him through the house I was living in West Oakland. And he decided that he wanted to learn how to farm because all his life he's just cooked these products. Mm-hmm. So we started talking about pasta, and he's definitely versed in Italian cookery. So we started about pasta first and then charcuterie and salumi. And he had apprenticed with Chris Lee, one of probably the few people in the United States right now that started the charcuterie movement and cured meats. So then Matt decided to live with us, and a year ago he started that. And then slowly we've been just growing and trying to see, you know, what we need and people that want to learn and want to give their time to this place. So Matt is the one that right now is heading our charcuterie. I forgot to mention when we raise hogs.
Okay, and I know you have I tasted a salami.
Yes.
Absolutely outstanding.
So that's what we're experimenting with because we think the cheese industry has done a lot for us, especially seeing how great the microclimate is. Mm-hmm. And I think we definitely have a little phobias of fungi and bacteria as in the United States, but we're getting over them with cheeses. But out there on the coast, we have such an amazing environment to cure these meats, and the temperatures are practically perfect. So it goes hand in hand. We can do pigs on pasture and then process them on the place. And right now we're just experimenting with different cuts. Some recipes that I have from my uncles in Calabria and then some that Matt has. So we're combining those two. And it's just salt, thyme, and spices. Mm-hmm. And so far the outcome has been just mouthwatering.
Yeah, well, the taste I had, definitely impressed. Are you all who are doing this able to make a living for yourself, or do you have to also have outside jobs?
We are. That's what we're trying to focus on, is exactly that. All the past generation of ranchers that we meet all say that they need an outside job because it's not sustainable. It's a lifestyle. And we agree it's a lifestyle, but there's definitely a way to make it sustainable. Mm-hmm. And it is through agritourism. It is a growing area. And part of what we're dialing with legislation right now is that they wanted to the First Amendments that just came out, it's something that's renewed every year, every 8 years. And this is the Coastal Commission that works with the various counties in Sonoma all throughout the coast of California. It's a state agency. And so we are all three of our farms are within the coastal zone. So they wanted to limit our cottage industry production. Actually, it wasn't even a permitted use.
Really?
And
okay. Are you in that as well? Are you?
Thank goodness, no.
Lucky.
Okay.
So part of that is a growing agritourism industry, and part of that is education. So we want to have people come in and teach them about, because people are talking about public access, you know, to the ocean. We completely agree with that. But people don't understand about carrying diseases and what hoof and mouth is, or yonis. Yonis is carried by the elk in Point Reyes. So you can just be hiking on public land in Point Reyes, but then you come on the property, and yonis is something that pretty much destroys a cow's life within 5 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it affects the intestinal tract.
It's a wasting disease.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
So by having people come on the farm, they see how animals are actually raised, and they can ask better questions, especially then going back to farmers markets. I love what's happening in Arizona right now. Some farmers markets have decided that there's too many brokers out there of people that are buying product from different places and selling them at a higher price. So there's a farmers market and certificate that they only allow people that produce 80% what they produce is 80% from their own property.
Now, I thought California farmers markets, it all has to be produced.
If it's a certified farmers market, my understanding was that the producer did have to indeed produce it on their property.
Yeah, and enforcement of that is one of the jobs, at least in California, enforcement of that is one of the jobs of market managers. They have to. You're only allowed to sell what's on your certificate, and the market manager, in theory, is supposed to visit a farm, I think, once a year.
There's it also apparently is under the auspices of the Agricultural Commissioner's Office, but they don't have the time to come out and inspect. So then it falls to the market manager. Mm-hmm. And in fact, the Santa Rosa Original Farmers Market has now hired an inspector start that process to go around and inspect the farms to make sure they're.
And I know I should say just to. To be completely accurate, I believe that you can also sell for one other certified farmer. I know this partly from, I think it was Hillsburg. There was one vendor, Sweetest Vendor, and I can't think of the name right now, but they were also offering on their table these incredible, I think they were heirloom apples. And they had, that was a certified farmer for that market. And you can take on one other person's. Like for the, I don't know if you can do it the whole season, but I know that there's some wiggle room there. But you can't go, you know, if you go to a wholesale market, buy stuff and try to sell it, which has happened, you should be kicked out of the market.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So we're talking about the coast and agritourism.
But also a division of where, you have some vendors that are buying from other farms, so it's almost like on a contract base, and then they buy those animals, just like any other consumer, and then they're butchering them and then selling them. Mm. I mean, this is happening. So that's fine with me, but it would be nice to have a division where you have, these are people that live with their animals, that you can ask any questions. Like, I'm there all the time. I live and work every day with my animals. Mm-hmm. And I can answer any questions. So it comes down to the consumers, and not every consumer asks the questions also. They're just there. It's just to feel better because they are shopping, and they're thinking mm-hmm. they're supporting a particular farmer. But it really comes down to the land itself. And that's what we are trying to do. Part of the sustainability, yes, it's financial. But if we don't better our methods of production, it doesn't make any sense to produce safe food. Like our, you know, agriculture vice president was describing pink slime or lean textured beef. I don't want to eat safe food. I want to produce food that's sustainable, and especially through
that's
a ground
very
level.
Good distinction, a hugely important distinction that is playing itself out in so many arenas right now. In, I believe it was last week's issue of the New Yorker, and I'd actually wanted to do a show on this sometime soon, and it looks like it's not going to be until June, but there was an article, fairly long article, about the closing of Rossum, down, if you know Rossum, down in Los Angeles.
I don't.
Oh, it's this huge thing. They were selling raw milk. And they were raided by the FBI and the USDA. And there was sort of a close-up examination of exactly what happened then, and then a discussion about that whole issue of the right to eat raw foods versus this idea of safety and what is, you know, does safety mean something that's just been zapped with a whole bunch of stuff? Or, you know, anyway, that's for another subject, and I will be addressing this in June. But it's one of the things that's bubbling to the surface right now that I think is really important.
We have many customers who call us, and they want raw milk. They want raw goat's milk. And it's like this underground network, and it shouldn't be that way.
Yeah. And, you know, Weston A. Price Foundation which I think they are a great clearinghouse for a lot of really outstanding nutritional information. And they also do a lot of legal defense. There are many, many chapters all over the United States. And the primary activity of the head of each chapter is to connect people with a source of raw milk in their community. That is most of the work that they do. I was astonished when I learned that.
Amazing.
Yeah. And the way that they generally have to do it, my understanding is you have to buy part of a cow. You have to do cow share in order to have a right to that milk.
The land of the free, isn't it?
Home of the brave.
Not anymore.
So anyway, maybe we should take one more quick little musical interlude and we'll come back and continue a conversation that obviously could go on for several hours.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life, you are only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird, fly. Blackbird, fly. Into the line of a dark black night. This moment to arise, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting.
Hello there. It's Mouthful. Time flies when you're having a good time. Before I go back to our guests, let me just tell you this really quickly. On May 12th, from 1 to 3 p.m. at the beautiful Hamilton Amphitheater Park on Hamilton Parkway in Novato, there will be a hula presentation. It is a celebration, a tribute to the island of Maui. Not all dances will be about Maui, but that's the core of the program. It's all students, all classes from Halau Hula Napua Okalaakea. I am a part of that, I will tell you, in the spirit of full disclosure. I will be dancing in about 7 or 8 of the dances. But the dancers are aged from about 6 years old to close to 70. The costumes are beautiful. It's only $10 to get in. If you're 10 or under, admission is free. It's the day before Mother's Day. It is a really wonderful, wonderful place, surrounded by trees, and it is like a little short trip to Hawaii. Arkumu, Shana Alapa'i, puts on a fabulous show, and some of the students who have been with her a very long time, they will present Oli, which is chanting that will give you goosebumps from head to toe. It's unbelievable. If you'd like to know more about this, I'm going to post information about this and how to get tickets on Mouthful's Facebook page. So you can just go there and check it out. And as always, you can send me an email about anything at catsmilk@sonic.net. So if you feel like it, join us for a celebration of Maui and a quick emotional trip anyway to the islands. And now back to my riveting guests. My God, I want 2 hours. real quickly, shifting, Leslie, from your role at the farmers market, and I appreciate, I'd learned so much from what you said, but Salmon Creek Ranch.
Yes.
I know that you this winter introduced a new type of duck.
Yes. We are now doing pekin duck as well as the Muscovy. In the past, we've only done the Muscovy, which is an interesting duck. It's Muscovy and pekin are so different genetically that if you crossed a Muscovy with a pekin, you would get a sterile offspring.
Oh.
The Muscovy is a very old breed. It was actually in the Americas when Columbus came over, and the early explorers took it back to Europe, and now we consider it more of a European
interesting
duck.
But like tomatoes in Italy.
Right.
They got them here.
Yeah. But we took on the pekin because the winter this year, well, the winters out there are cold.
Yes.
And they're wet. Mm-hmm. And the Muscovy, being a semi-tropical bird, doesn't do so well in the winter. So we basically have been shutting down production over the winter. And then that leaves our customers unhappy. Mm-hmm. So we thought we would try pekin because they have the extra fat and thinking that they might do better in our climate over the winter. And so we've been happy with the results.
Mm-hmm. And I found them quite good.
Right. In fact, Chef Pani has been buying quite a bit of our duck recently, which we are absolutely thrilled
about. And congratulations on that. Having your food purchased by Alice Waters and her staff at Chef Pani is a very good thing.
Yes, they're careful. They come out and look you over, and mm-hmm. they're really nice. So we're thrilled.
Good. And then you also have goat meat.
We have goat meat. We have about 150 goats. We're in the middle of kidding right now. 72 kids on the ground, and we're still counting. But we have Kiko goats primarily, mm-hmm. which is a meat breed from New Zealand mm-hmm. that does very well foraging, mm-hmm. low maintenance.
And you also have Highland.
We have Scottish Highland cattle as well as
Angus. They're the cutest cattle I've ever seen.
I know. When I took the first steer in to be processed, as we euphemistically say, I cried all the way home. But the beef was so good.
It was. I had some. It was really good. People can get your product. Duck eggs. Your big product, duck eggs.
Yes. We are basically doubling our duck egg production this year, and we are supplying about 10 Whole Foods markets in the Greater Bay Area, as well as several independent markets. We sell at the farmers market at Santa Rosa and Sebastopol, and we ship our duck eggs all over the country.
Wow. So big demand for duck eggs.
There are. They're amazing. They have twice the amount of iron as a hen's egg, uh-huh. 5 times the B12 per unit, not just because they're bigger. Uh-huh. And they also are alkaline, and chicken eggs are acidic. And certain health conditions,
right.
they want you to have more alkaline foods.
Interesting. Yeah. How do people, other than the farmers market in Santa Rosa on Saturdays and Sunday now in Sebastopol, where else can people get your products? And Whole Foods, of course.
Right. Our webpage lists the markets that we sell it at. People can also come by the ranch.
Can just go to salmoncreekranch.com and get the details.
Right.
Excellent. There you go. Okay, we only have about 3 minutes left, Guido. We've got breaking news.
We had a factoid verified while we were sitting in the studio that I just want to relay, that we did learn indeed that the Redwood Empire Farmers Market Group, their lease from the county regional parks is for $49,200 a year for the Veterans Hall, which is less than what the county was demanding of us, which was $58,000. Also, being that it's $49,000, it puts them below the $50,000 threshold by which an RFP, a request for proposals, would have had to have been sent out.
Wow.
So what's that about? I would like our supervisors to answer to that.
Yeah, that would be good information to have. Thank you for when we were listening to music for pursuing that, and thanks to Melville's engineer for looking it up. And Guido, you obviously have to come back with your other farmers. You know, we'll do a whole hour. But in the meantime, you attend several farmers markets. Which ones are they?
Briefly, they're listed on the website.
And the web address is?
ValleyFordYoungFarmers.com.
Excellent.
It shows who the producers are and where you can locate us and our individual websites.
Oh, great. Okay, so that you can just link through to all three
ValleyFordYoungFarmers.com.
Excellent.
And we provide a CSA that is from the consortium.
Okay, so you do a CSA.
Yeah.
And then these farm tours like you did on Saturday, are those going to be monthly now?
The next one is May 19th.
It's just, usually
we try
May
to
19th.
Do, we do a Saturday.
Uh-huh. So you try to do a Saturday and once a month?
Once a month, yeah.
Excellent. So again, that website is valleyfordyoungfarmers.com, and that will link you through, let me get this right, Swallow Valley Farms, Hansful Farm, and Guido's True Grass Farms. Again, thank you for doing what you're doing and for making both Leslie and I feel like, hope for the future generations.
Yes.
And Leslie, thank you so much for being here. You're so articulate. I really appreciate it. And I love your products.
Oh, thank you.
You are a great, great farmer, a great addition to our farming community. And we didn't even talk about your Saluki, so we'll have to do that sometime. Okay, so meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour. In the meantime, have a great week.
The Lord that praises me. It's time for dinner now. Let's go eat. We got some beans and some good cornbread. Now listen to what the preacher said. To the Lord that praises me.
Mouthful is produced by Michelle Anna Jordan. It's engineered by Lawrence Alberti and Eric Black. For more information about Mouthful, email to catsmilk@sonic.net. That's catsmilk@sonic.net. You can also go to krcb.org and download podcasts of Mouthful, as well as from iTunes.
And the moral of this story, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough, even he'll get hungry too. And he'll sing, to the Lord that praises me.